Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning. This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Today, I've got Wyoming Game and Fish in here, Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist, and Dan Teal joining us as well. Guys, thank you for taking the time here today.
Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Definitely. And I'm going to start here by introducing Christina. It's the first time we've had her on the show. And, you know, we had Bud Stewart for the longest time, and Christina is now taking over that spot for Bud. So, Christina, just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you come from? Where were you before you came here?
Well, originally I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I graduated from Oklahoma State University with a degree in wildlife ecology, with an emphasis in communications and a minor in journalism. And right after college, I actually moved here to Sheridan and took a job with the Game and Fish Department working under Warren Mischke, who a lot of people probably remember. He had Bud's job prior to Bud having it for many years. So I worked with Bud for, I think, 2 years here in Sheridan, then moved to Jackson and did the same position over there for a couple years. And since then, my husband and I moved to some different places. I've had various jobs, most recently doing freelance writing and some writing for newspapers and magazines. So,
and you just couldn't stay away because this is the greatest place to live, right?
Correct.
All right. So once again, that's Christina Schmidt. She's going to be joining us as the public information specialist here for Wyoming Game and Fish. And we'll jump right into it, and we'll start off talking about some bear issues.
This is just a reminder for folks. You know, we've had some bear issues occurring in Sheridan, Story, Dayton area already. Just a reminder to folks that we live in bear country, and please keep, you know, if you're in the mountains, please keep a clean camp. That, you know, that's a big one. Most of the time you're not going to see a bear, but you certainly could attract a bear to your campsite by leaving food out. You know, and not just food. We try and tell people, we try and term it as attractants, because things that smell good to a bear aren't necessarily what we would consider food items. You know, deodorant, toothpaste, all those things smell good to a bear. They've got incredible sense of smell. So we try to get folks to think.
So don't
kind of.
You're going up.
You can wear it, just don't leave it out. We just ask folks, if they're not at their site, you know, please put it in, you know, a vehicle or hard-sided camper or something like that, just so bears can't access it. Once they access it, they're going to keep coming and trying to get more fit. You know, it's easy calories, and the life of a bear is a quest for calories. That's what they're looking for. So we just ask folks to keep a clean camp when they're up in the mountains, and then even here in town. I know it's an inconvenience, I get that, but try to keep your trash indoors until maybe the day of pickup, take it out, keep it in a garage or shed. Same with pet food, that's a big one. A lot of people put food out for their dog or their cat, and it doesn't sound good to us, but bears think it's delicious. So, you know, just try and look around your place, and anything that might smell good, even though we don't think it would taste good, might attract a bear. So just ask some folks to keep that in mind.
All right. And leftover licenses are available.
Correct. So we've had our two draws, and there are now licenses. Anything that's left over will be available at local license selling agents on a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
And I might just add on that, you know, the second draw was held, and these leftover licenses are now available first-come, first-served at either license agents or online. And just keep in mind that most of them are available in private land areas where access is difficult. So we try to, you know, tell prospective hunters when they call that just be aware that hunting pressure on public lands in these restricted areas are high, and know what you're getting into. So if you got friends or out-of-state friends who are looking to pick up licenses, just be aware that they know what they're getting into in these private land areas. And we try to encourage them to get permission to private land before they buy a license, but a lot of them are willing to take their chances by hunting public land, and just realize that a lot of people have the same idea you do.
Sure. Okay. And next, habitat and access, talking about things like if you're out at Lake Desmet and wanting to use the boat docks, they're mainly supposed to be used for boating and not sunbathing.
Well, this is at the request of our Habitat and Access Coordinator. It's just some comments he has heard from the public that he wanted me to share. So there are, you know, some boat docks and ramps, and it sounds like the boat docks at Mixel Pots are managed jointly by Johnson County and Game and Fish, and there are signs that say no swimming, diving, sunbathing on those docks. There are some other docks, though, that don't have that signage, and I guess there have been some issues with people using those docks and not clearing and making space when boats try to come in and use them. So just trying to remind folks that's kind of a priority, is to let those boats get in and out safely and keep your distance and clear out when they're trying to come and go.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I actually have, at Monument Point this year, been out there, and then there was seemed like 20 people on the dock, and as I pulled up to get my boat off, none of them moved. So, you know, we just had to kind of go around them.
Yeah, evidently we're hearing that. So I spoke to Seth Roseberry, who's our coordinator, and he said, please let folks know we're having an issue with
just
that.
Just be respectful of people in boats, and
correct,
and you know, that's what the dock is there for, so that they can get those boats in and out of the water. And even more than that, and as much as I've been to Lake DeSmet this year, it seems like 80% of the people who drop their boats in the water don't really know what they're doing. They wait to get their boat ready until they bring it all the way down the ramp. So then they're holding people up. When they're done, they sit right in the ramp and drain it and do all that stuff instead of pulling ahead where they give you space to do all that stuff. And again, it just goes back to being respectful of other people.
And a safety issue, too.
Yeah.
Definitely. He also said to mention fire season. Of course, you know, as it's getting hotter and drier, please make sure there's not any campfires left unattended when you're on Game and Fish properties, such as Bud Love and Ed O'Taylor. As far as fire restrictions, just to let folks know, generally what we do is we tend to follow county restrictions. So if the county goes into a ban or any sort of restrictions, in general, Game and Fish will follow shortly thereafter. So right now, I'm not aware of any, but people need to keep an eye on that as the summer progresses. And of course, it's just never a good idea. It's kind of amazing how many people will actually start a fire and go off to do something else and not want, you know, they don't want to have to restart it when they get back. But
people aren't very smart, are they?
It's such a bad idea. So it's kind of silly to have to remind folks of that, but please don't leave campfires unattended. It's just not a great idea.
And just to give an idea of the implications of that, you know, two of the major fires that started in Colorado were due to human carelessness. So, you know, it may not happen every time, but when it does, the implications can be huge. So,
well, and that's one of them things people think, yeah, it's not going to happen here. But as windy as it is in Wyoming, I mean, all it has to do is fling one of them embers up in the air, and that's about it. It gets some grass going, and from there, it just goes out of control.
Yeah, and we're certainly starting to dry out, and that's going to continue. So, you know, we're blessed with good forage this year, but we've seen some huge fires in the past, like the Cato fire. So, and granted, that one was a lightning strike, but certainly want to be cautious when using campfires.
Sure. And you've got a closure for the summer due to construction work at Dull Knife?
Uh-huh, yep, he wanted us to mention that. And also, he said they've recently installed a small fishing pier at the Taylor Cabin Pond, so folks can take advantage of that if they would like.
All right. And anything else with the Habitat and Access you want to jump on?
I think the only other thing would be that remind people that there is a public access at Bear Trap down on the Hazleton Road on Bear Trap Creek. It's a pretty small creek, but it does offer some fishing. And then, of course, further south on the Middle Fork of the Powder River, the upper end, we have an access area there as well. So you can go online to our website and look at the access points. It's kind of a good way to get an overview of where public access is available off the National Forest.
Okay. And fishing updates.
Well, of course, I'm sure the big news around town is the walleye that was taken out of Lake DeSmet couple days ago. I've been out of town for a few days. I just flew in last night and saw, of course, on social media, the big walleye that was taken. So I think there's some confusion. I saw people making comments that it might be a state record. And just to clarify, so for state record, my understanding is this fish was taken by spear gun.
Okay.
And for state record regulations, it does have to actually be caught, you know, on a rod. So for our record, I mean, it's an incredible fish, not to take away from that achievement, certainly. But for as far as our records go, it won't, if that's how it was taken, that's not, it won't qualify under our rules. But I thought it'd be interesting just to let folks know. So our current walleye state record is 17.42 pounds, and that was taken out of Boysen Reservoir in 1991. Okay. So that is held for a long time. And
how big was the one caught a couple of days ago? Do you have that?
I haven't heard specifically. I saw, if it's accurate, a comment that it was 17.28. So okay, slightly under our state record. However, if it was taken while the gentleman was spearfishing, I happened to look up those records, and it looks like the record through the International Underwater Spearfishing Association is just about 13 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So if this gentleman meets, and I don't know what their requirements are, but if he's able to meet their requirements and sends it in and all that kind of stuff, it looks like there's a possibility it could be the new record through that organization, and would best that record by about 4 pounds. That's a big achievement.
Yeah, that's definitely a nice fish and a cool story. And I was wondering, and I don't know if either of you know this, so this gentleman was probably diving underwater, had the spear gun. How far away can a fish be with that spear gun that you could actually shoot it? One, that the spear will get there, and two, accurately get there. Any ideas?
No, but they've got to be pretty close. Yeah. You know, you're talking probably within 15 feet or maybe even closer than that. So, and one point of clarification is spear fishing is legal in Lake Desmet.
So okay. So he's not sitting in jail.
Correct.
Telling his fish story. All right. So that was the update there on Desmet. Looks like most of the area lakes and streams that are going to be stocked have been stocked at this point.
Yep, that's correct. And the fisheries crew just would like to let folks know, as water warms up, to try to fish maybe in the early evening early morning or late evening, when those water temperatures are a little cooler, to stress the fish a little less, or head on the mountain and do some stream fishing out there. As those waters get warmer, it's just a little more stressful, you know. When you're catching fish, it's a little more stressful on them. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and with those trout, some people probably don't even realize that if he puts up a decent fight while you're getting him in, even though he might be alive when you let him go, if he's you know, fought the good fight to try and get away, he may not last that long. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. Certainly you can stress those fish, and with the warmer water temperatures, it just adds to that. So, you know, for catch and release fishermen, be cognizant of that and help the resource.
Okay. And looks like at North Tongue and Muddy Guard, you guys have creel surveys. Is that where you just have those cards out there and people fill them out after they leave?
Yeah, for Muddy Guard, that is correct. They have the cards, and on the North Tongue, we actually have two technicians who will be visiting with anglers as they see them through the summer. So kind of two different things going on that we just want to make folks aware of, and if you're approached by someone, they're just trying to get information on, you know, how your fishing is going, how many days you've been fishing, what you're trying to catch, those kinds of things. So we just ask folks, you know, at Muddy Guard, fill out the card. That would help us out a bunch. And on the North Tongue, if you're approached, I know you're there to fish, but if you could spend a few minutes to visit with our folks, that'd be really helpful. Let's see, along those lines, in terms of being contacted, just wanted to let everyone know there is a hunter survey that is being done in cooperation with the University of Wyoming, and those surveys are being emailed. And I know there are tons of scams out there, so people are cautious, and just would like folks to know that is a legitimate survey if you get an email from Game and Fish and the University of Wyoming. So the survey is about people's feelings and perspectives about advancements in hunting technology. How do they think these things are going to impact hunting? Do they want to see regulations on them? Just opinions on what they think about these pretty amazing technologies that are coming out with trail cameras and things like that. And I think it's going to a random sample of about 2,000 hunters. So it's possible that you might get an email, and it's not a scam. We would really like to hear your opinion.
Yeah, with those trail cams and in things like fish finders, it's kind of changed the game in hunting and fishing a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how technology progresses, and in response, we have to evaluate that and sometimes make regulations to address that. You know, typically it comes down to the idea of fair chase. You know, what gives a hunter too much of an advantage? So that's one of the things we're looking at, and we hear from people. You know, another example would be drones. You know, drones came out, and as their technology progresses, we already had some regulations regarding you know, looking for game from the air before you go hunting. But I think we did make a few minor changes to address drone use.
All right. And as we are kind of winding down out of time here, you have some changes to the wolf season.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that one. Yeah, as you remember, wolves are again under state management, and they're a dual status species where they're managed as a trophy game species in the western part of the state and a predatory species in this part of the state. But our commission did set the season for this coming fall, and they did increase the quota from 44 to 58, so there will be more opportunity this year. Wolf populations are doing really well in some areas, so we've got quotas set for different hunt areas. And kind of like we've done with some areas with mountain lions, we did up the bag limit, so now hunters can take two wolves. So what that indicates is that the population's doing well. There's some management concerns, and we're trying to decrease that population. And to do so, we've got to have fairly liberal seasons and limits.
Okay. Again, we're talking with Christina Schmidt and Dan Teal with Wyoming Game and Fish. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. This is KBBS and its Community Speaks, brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep it tuned, KBBS.